Last week we started a series called The Cost of Christmas, and the subtitle to this is Finding Purpose in Sacrifice. Now, none of us like that word sacrifice, because what it means is giving up something that's important or valuable to you because of someone else. And so we generally don't like to sacrifice. We would rather kind of hang on to it ourselves and enjoy it ourselves. So something that's important to you or something that's valuable to you, you would give up for another person, or you would give up for God, or some other entity. And so when we, as a church, we start looking for people who are interested in serving in deacon roles and elder roles and Sunday school roles, we are asking them to sacrifice their time and energy to serve God. And so when they come into those positions, they understand that this is going to be a sacrifice. It's not something they're normally going to do, but it's something they're going to give up, something valuable. And so when we look today, we see that Joseph last week sacrificed a lot of things to serve God and to also to be a protector for Mary and Jesus. And today we're going to talk about Mary. We think about these two because it says in the first chapter of Luke, the 26th chapter, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And so you have the two characters, the two primary people involved in this story. And we know that both of them had to sacrifice because they were betrothed, and we told you the story last week of how the wedding in Galilee was different than ours, and so they were engaged to be married. They were actually husband and wife at the time of the betrothal, and then they had to wait 1 year until the time when they could come together and actually consummate the marriage with a sexual relationship and be husband and wife fully, okay? And that 1 year was intended to produce or to show the purity of the woman or the man in their relationship together. And so when you hear this story, they were betrothed, and we know the story because we just heard it right here. We know that Mary is conceives by the Holy Spirit. And so now we have a person who's pregnant in the middle of her 1 year purity term, and it doesn't talk very good about her or about Joseph. And so they had to bear the contempt of a culture that said that they were illegitimate, that they were adulterers. And really, under the law of Moses, both of them, or at least Mary, should be stoned to death. And so there is a great deal of cost and sacrifice that's going on here in these two people, who, by the way, are probably just teenagers or just a little bit older than that. We knew Mary was definitely in her early teen years, and Joseph might be a little bit older than that. But we're going to talk today about the sacrifice of worship. The kids and Rosemary talked about worship this morning and how it is giving to God that which says that we believe in Him, that we honor Him. And we're going to take a look at the story, and we're just going to read a little bit of this. Luke 1, 26 to 38. So if you have your Bible this morning, this is the beginning story for Mary, and I want to read it for you. It says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancies, God sent an angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary, and she was engaged to be married to a man by the name of Joseph, a descendant of King David. And Gabriel appeared to her and said to her, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever, and his kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I am a virgin." And the angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born with you is holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but now she is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." And Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. And then the angel left her. See, Mary was asked to do some things here that are really way beyond most of our ability or willingness to sacrifice. I want you to think about this, that because of the place in this betrothal period, that she was considered to be an adulteress when she actually started to show 3 months into it. You know, she's got a little belly on her. And she's showing, and she walks back into the community of Nazareth after having been gone for 3 months down at Elizabeth visiting her. And she comes back, and she is definitely showing that she's pregnant. And everybody in the whole community, when she rides in on the cart and gets off and goes to her home, they're out and about. They're doing their thing, and all of a sudden they look over there, and there's a pregnant woman, and she is betrothed, and they know it because this is a small town. This is a town of 200 to 500 people. And you know what small towns are like that. You know what happens in Hampton, Iowa, a town of 4,000. People know what's going on. And the rumor mill started to move. Can you imagine what took place at the well every morning? Did you see who that was? She's showing. I wonder what happened. What happened when she was down at Elizabeth's? Was it Joseph or was it somebody else? You can see the rumor. She has become now a social outcast. So when she would go to the well, the other women would leave the well because it was forbidden that a person get pregnant outside, inside this window. She is a social outcast. And then you start to think about the question that she's going to have. And I think this is a question she maybe posed in her heart to God, which is, am I enough? I'm just a woman from a little town. And then you think about what the angel said. The virgin will conceive a child and she will give birth to a son and you will call his name, he will be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. This is a statement to Mary. And then the angel's statement to her. You will conceive and give birth to a son. Am I enough? Am I enough? I am just from a little bitty town. I'm a poor family. You would think that the king of all kings, the Messiah, would be born to some princess someplace, somebody in royal blood, somebody, by the way, Mary was of royal blood, but wasn't recognized at this time. And so she lived in this little town in a poor place. And she is asking the question, am I enough to do what God has asked me to do? I want you to pose that question in your mind and keep that because that is one of the primary things that we're going to be asked today. Because most of the time when we are asked to sacrifice something, we are going to say, am I enough? Am I capable of doing this? Can I do this? You see, the thing was asked of Mary and Joseph is the very same thing that's asked of us every time God asks us to sacrifice something to him. And then you think about her body changing, okay? So now, I'm not a woman, okay? But I've lived with a woman through 3 pregnancies. Now, that doesn't mean that I know what went on, okay? It just means I observed what went on. And I know that there were hormonal changes, because I felt them. I know that there were pains and things that were not right as they went through the pregnancy. I remember the being in the labor room. I remember the delivery. And it was no fun. In fact, it was kind of like, don't ever do this again. It's painful. Now, all through the pregnancy, Mary is working through this. Okay, her body is changing. And God is saying to her, I want you to do this. And then you think about the question, how do you bear the child of God? Mothers, you feel the baby when she's in there. You know what's going on. And yet you know that this child is not Joseph's child. This child was conceived by the Holy Spirit. So that this child is the Son of God. That he is God in human form. How are you going to teach this child? How are you going to birth this child? Will he come out with a halo? what will it be like? I can't imagine the thoughts that went through her mind. But the question always comes back to, am I enough? And then I want you to think with me about this, about the fact that when you become a mother, it never stops. Okay? It just doesn't stop at the pregnancy or at the birth. That's just the beginning. It then begins for an entire lifetime. You are asking the question, how do I protect my child? And then 8 days into after the birth, they are going to the temple in Jerusalem, and they're taking the child there because that's what the law of Moses says. And there was a man there who's a prophet, and he greets them, and he takes Jesus in his hands, and this is what he says to Mary about Jesus. He says, then Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, the baby's mother, this child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall and many others to rise. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. As a result, the deepest thoughts of every heart will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your very soul. Okay, now moms, dads, listen up. This is a baby who's 8 days old. And someone has just said he is going to cause major disruption in the land of Israel. He's going to cause people to be divided. He is going to be opposed by the people of this nation. And he is going to have a soul. And what he does is going to cause a sword to be pierced your very soul. What are you thinking at this time? You're thinking, how do I protect him? How do I keep him from this? Even I, as a father with grown men as children, I want to still protect them, even though I can't. And here is an eight-day-old baby, and mama is saying, how am I going to protect him? This is what I have in my hands. A man who's going to change Israel, going to change the nation. So the question is, how did Mary do this? What did she do? Well, I would propose to you that Mary became a worshiper. Mary became a worshiper. She saw the sacrifice as an opportunity to say, I am not enough, but God and me, God and myself, that's sufficient. So what did she say? So Mary is a worshiper, and she responded, oh, how my soul praises the Lord, how my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Now this is called, in your Bible, it's called Mary's Song of Praise, or the Magnificent, and it's been used for a lot of things. Songs have been written about this. But it's so interesting to read this from the standpoint of a woman who is a social outcast, who does not know if she's enough, who has looked at what's going to happen to her body and is seeing the changes, and who ultimately comes down to the end of that 9 months and 8 days into the new birth of this baby, and she is hearing what's going to happen to her son. And she says, oh, how my soul praises the Lord. My soul praises the Lord. I recognize God as the one who is my Savior. Notice what she says. How my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Why does she need a Savior? She's not perfect, folks. She is a human woman who, in that humanity, has sin in her life. She is a great godly woman, but she is still a sinner. And so we can't say that Mary's perfect, because she looks to God as her Savior, the one who would save her from her own sin. And she praises him, and she becomes a worshiper. She recognizes God. She places God in the position of saying, he is the one who is in my life. And then she goes on, and she says, for he took notice of this lowly servant girl. This is what she thought of herself. I am a lowly servant girl. I am a poor woman, and I'm just a teenager. I'm just a girl. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One is holy, and he has done great things for me. Now, you can look at that and you can say, look at the pride in there. Or you can look at that and say, no, what she's actually saying is, because of what God has done, God plus me is enough. God plus what he's asked me to do is enough. I'm enough for what God has asked me to do. And I will be happy. That's what blessed means. I will be happy. For the Mighty One is holy. Now, catch that right there. Holy. So when she would walk through the townspeople would say, what you bear is unholy. The child within you is unholy, because they call it illegitimate. Therefore, it's unholy. And what God is saying, what Mary says, is no, for the Mighty One is holy, and what he has done for me is holy. You see, God plus you are holy. So the child within Mary was a holy child. And the events that had taken place, even though people looked on her with contempt, are events that she understood were holy. God had made this happen for her, and so she worships him as God. And then she goes on, and she talks in this kind of a long phrase, and let's just read through this. We'll comment as we go. For he shows mercy from generation to generation to all who fear him. Notice there that the beginning of all of these things is the fear of God. And Mary was a God-fearer. And she said, God shows mercy to those people who fear him. Those people who will place him in his place of honor and then bow before him and say, I am yours. You and me were enough to do whatever you ask us to do. And then he goes on and it says, for his mighty arm has done tremendous things. He has scattered the proud and haughty ones. He has brought down the princes from their thrones and exalted the humble. What is he saying? God has the capacity to take princes and bring them down to be paupers and lift paupers from their position up to be princes. The fact that Jesus was born in a stable is just the fact that he is given for all men. From the lowest to the highest, that's who he came for. And so he was born in the lowest place that could possibly be, in a stable, in a manger. And God has a capacity to scatter the proud ones, the princes on thrones, and to exalt the humble. And then he says, he has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty-handed. He sends the rich away hungry and says to those who are hungry, be filled. God is able to do whatever is necessary for us. He has helped his servant Israel and remembered to be merciful, for this is the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and his children forever. The basis for which Jesus came into this world is a promise made to Abraham thousands of years ago, that he would provide a savior for mankind out of Abraham and his wife Sarah. Now Mary began worshiping God, not at the time that she knew she was pregnant or she came to see Elizabeth at about, you know, a few days after she had conceived. But this is her statement when she first hears the words of the angel, and she says, I am the Lord's servant. I am the Lord's servant. And that's the beginning. That's the fear of the Lord. May everything you have said about me come true. She began worshiping there. And then she continued to worship in the magnificent, where she says, oh, my soul praises the Lord. And then she continues her worship because she went with Joseph from Nazareth to Bethlehem on this 4-day journey across rugged terrain, and we think about taking 4 days and we're driving the interstates, okay? They're not driving the interstates, folks. They're riding on the back of a donkey. They're rocking across rocky roads, and they're not safe. And it's a major undertaking to go from Nazareth to Bethlehem. It's major. And yet Mary says, I'm going to go with my husband. It says he took her, but she had to agree to go with him. And then 8 days later, when the baby was circumcised, he was named Jesus. They took him to the temple on the basis of what the law of Moses said. And they went there with him, and they worshiped by offering him, the firstborn of her womb, to God, which is what the law of Moses said to do. They worshiped at that point, following the law that God had already given. And then in verse 33 of chapter 2. This is after the story. This is the story that you just heard up here of the angels coming and the shepherds coming and the birth is here and the baby's laying in the manger. And it's, can you imagine the hormonal changes that are going on in this woman because she's just given birth and things are shifting already? And then all these things happen around her. And this is what it says. And the parents were amazed at what was being said about him. And Mary says she treasures all these things in her heart. She treasures them. She worships God for who he is. So the question really is, how do you do this? How do we sacrifice something that is valuable to us, that God asks us to sacrifice, and yet we are not sure how to sacrifice, how to let go of it? Because that's what it is. You let go of the control of what God's asking you to do. I want you to think about the things that are going on in your life today. The things that are happening in your families and in your surroundings. And you know, think about someone that you maybe know that's got, maybe you've had the COVID or you've had some sickness or disease and you're struggling with it. You know, it may have been a long-term process that you've been in. And you don't know if you're enough to complete it. And there are times when you think, you know what, if I just ended it all, if I just unplugged, that would be fine, okay? Everybody would be better off without me. And yet when God asks us to sacrifice, he says, I'm giving you enough to take care of it. I plus you are enough to do what I've asked you to do. See, whenever God asks us to sacrifice something, he always brings enough grace on the other side to balance it. Always. The contempt was strong, but the grace of God and his presence in Mary's life was stronger, enough to carry her through. So, how do we do this? Well, we surrender to sacrifice. You surrender to it. You say, I yield. I yield, Lord. Have it your way. Do unto me what you have said needs to be done. And so, I kind of put these into four little nuggets you can hang on to. How do you surrender to sacrifice? Well, first of all, you believe and confess. Now, I'm not talking about initial belief or saving faith here. I'm talking about a person who already knows God, they already fear God, they already have asked him to be their Savior, and he's asking you to sacrifice something. He's asking you to go through something that you're not sure you can handle. And he says, first of all, I want you to believe and confess. Mary says, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. So she is saying, I believe what you have said is true, and I confess with my mouth out loud, I'm with you. I'm on the same track. I yield to you. I sacrifice to you. I worship you, my God. Second thing is become a worshiper. Worshipers are those people who sacrifice for God. They give up something that's important to serve or to honor God. When you come to worship on a Sunday morning, you are sacrificing an hour or 2 hours or 3 hours out of your day, and you're giving it to God. That's what you're doing. You're saying, here I am. I want to listen to you. I want to hear from you. When you have a quiet time or you read the scriptures on a daily basis, you're worshiping God at that time because you're saying, I could be doing anything else. I could be looking at my phone if they Facebook or Twitter or whatever else you do in the morning on your phone. But you set that aside. You sacrifice that and give that time to God. That's called worship. For the Mighty One is holy and he has done great things for me. He is holy. And what he's called me to do is holy, not unholy. People will say, what a worthless thing you do on a Sunday morning. You could be doing a bunch of other things. And what are they saying? Oh, what you're doing is unholy. It's unholy. It doesn't matter. It's worthless. And you say, no, it's holy because the God that I serve is the one that I want to be exalted in this time. And it becomes holy because you choose to worship God at this time. So whatever anybody else thinks, it doesn't matter. God calls it holy, so therefore it is holy. We are also to obey through difficulties. I can't imagine what Joseph and Mary went through in those 9 months, actually in those 2 to 12 years that they lived in Nazareth, wherever they were. The time that they spent there must have been very difficult. But they obeyed through the difficulties, through the hardships they were going through. He took Mary with him on that trail to from Nazareth to Bethlehem, that difficult times. And remember, she is 8 months, 26 days pregnant. That gives her 4 days to get there and have the baby. And the last thing is that we should treasure God's work in your life. God is at work in your life. He's at work in my life. And I think about that, and I think, am I enough for what God has asked me to do? No, I'm not enough. None of us are enough. But I'm enough if God is with me, and God is walking through it with me and helping me do what is supposed to be done. And I treasure that. We treasure that in our hearts. You see, the sacrifice of a worshiper is to take what God has asked you to give to him and say, I can't do this without you. And the point of sacrifice then becomes a point of worship, becomes a point of holiness. So I don't know where you're at this day, this week. I know that for me, part of this message, the idea of this thing, at least formulated, when I listened to a video from Amanda Burns. Now, you don't know Amanda Burns, but she talked about being, I am enough. I am enough with God. So I want to give her credit for building that idea into my head. But as I thought about this, I thought, you know what? This my week has been like your week sometimes. It's just kind of, you wonder how you're going to make it through it. And you just say, you know, am I enough to make it through this thing? I don't know what your weeks have been like, but you plus God is enough to worship him. You plus God is enough. Father God, thank you for the example of Mary and Joseph, who understood what it meant to fear you, to obey you, to treasure you, to worship you in the midst of the struggle that they're in. Lord, they knew that the only way they were going to make it through this is if God was the one that they exalted and they looked to you for the strength to accomplish it. Father, would you do that same thing for us this day? Because Christmas is not just about a celebration. Christmas is about every day learning to worship you like Mary and Joseph, because it didn't end on that day when Jesus was born. It was just kind of the part of the beginning. So, Father, I just ask that you would show us how we are just like Mary and Joseph. You call us to sacrifice. And in that sacrifice, when we yield to that sacrifice, Lord, that you are the one who comes in beside us and adds whatever's necessary to make up the difference in our lives. And Lord, I want to thank you that you always make up the difference. What seems like a negative category, what seems like a negative on our balance books, when we sacrifice, you come in and you add positives to that to make it different. You equal it out. In fact, most of the time, Lord, you put surplus into our accounts as a result of it. So, Father, teach us to sacrifice for you and wait upon you to make up the difference in our lives. And the power and the capacity to do that. In the name of Jesus, we pray.